The current confrontation with Iran all comes back to nukes and the 2015 deal that effectively put Tehran's nuclear program in check to delay the possibility that Iran could acquire nuclear weapons. The agreement did that by, among other things, limiting how much uranium Iran could enrich. And even when the Trump administration pulled out of the deal last year, Iran stayed in full compliance. But that's now changing. Iran says its growing stockpile of low-enriched uranium will breach the limits it agreed to this Thursday. So does this mean Iran is back on track to build a nuclear bomb, and how long would that take? Joe Cirincione is an expert in nuclear deterrence. He's the head of the Plowshares Fund in Washington. How quickly could Iran collect enough enriched uranium for a bomb, Joe?
The deal was designed to keep Iran at least a year away from a bomb, as compared to a few weeks before the deal. So as long as Iran stays within the limits, it would take it at least a year to make enough material for the core of one bomb, and we believe about another year to fashion that material into an actual deliverable warhead. That will start to change as they breach the limits.
And how much is that going to change? Does Iran have the technological capacity to do it fast, to do it faster than, say, 2 years?
This is a very measured response by Iran to what they see as this economic warfare by the United States. So this is not a nuclear crisis yet. They're not sprinting towards a bomb. This isn't a full breakout scenario. Let me explain why. Before the deal, they had about 10,000 kilograms of low-enriched uranium gas, 10,000 kilograms of that. The deal made them ship almost all of that, 98%, out of the country. They were left with a token amount of 300 kilograms. That's the limit they're now threatening to breach. But even if they went to 400 kilograms, say, and that would take them weeks or even months to do, that's still not enough to make a bomb. You need about 1,000 kilograms of low-enriched uranium gas to make enough material, 25 kilograms, of highly enriched uranium, the stuff you can turn into a metal and turn into a bomb. So they're a long way away.
So you call this a measured response, but it's measured by their own capabilities. Like, how quickly would the outside world even know if Iran suddenly made a dash for the bomb?
This is the good news. We would know immediately. We have exquisite intelligence on what Iran is doing for two reasons. One, the deal imposed the most intrusive inspection regime in the planet. We have international atomic energy inspectors there. We have cameras. We have seals. Not you know, wax on cylinder Game of Thrones seals. I mean, fiber optic radio frequency seals. If they breach a limit, if they start moving centrifuges out of storage and put them online, we will know instantly. Plus, we have our own intelligence and the intelligence of many of our allies, including Israel, Germany, etc. We'll know exactly what they're doing.
Are the nuclear inspections in Iran ongoing, even with the U.S. out of the deal? And is that expected to continue even after Thursday when they breach this enriched uranium bar?
Yes. And it would be a completely different situation if they were pulling out of the deal entirely, if they were pulling Saddam Hussein and kicking out inspectors. They're not. That's what I mean by a measured response. The deal is still alive. That is, Russia, China, the European Union, all the European countries who negotiated the deal, they're still complying with it. And so is Iran up to this point. It's the U.S. who back in May of 2018 pulled out of the deal. Well, actually not pulled out. There is no withdrawal mechanism. Technically, we are violating the deal. We promised to lift the sanctions. We are violating the deal by putting those sanctions back in place. What Iran is basically saying is, look, for a year, you've been violating the deal, and we've been keeping with it. Now we're going to show you that there's a cost to your U.S. violations. We're going to start lifting some of the limitations on us, too. So far, measured. They're threatening to do one other step, and just in announcements today, and they may do that, which is also to raise the enrichment level of the uranium they are enriching. So they're limited by the deal to just basically 3.5%, the level you would use for nuclear fuel in their reactor. But they used to have a stockpile of 20% enriched, and they may be going to do that too. That is a material that brings you much closer to bomb grade, which is roughly 90%. It would again shorten the time to which they could break out and sprint to a bomb. It would still be months. We would still see them doing it, but they'd be getting closer.
How do you read these actions by Iran, Joe Cirincione? Is it saber-rattling, or is it kind of just finding pressure where they've got room to kind of maneuver?
It's not saber-rattling because they're not threatening to go to war. This is aimed at the Europeans more than the U.S. The Europeans promised Iran that if they stayed in the deal, which they have, that Iran would find a way around the U.S. sanctions. Remember, Iran is not enjoying the benefits it was promised under the deal. Their economy is getting crushed, not improving. So the Europeans have promised to implement what they call a special vehicle, a mechanism for allowing European and Asian countries to get around the sanctions. They haven't done it yet. This is a step by Iran to put pressure on the Europeans to get them to provide some of the economic benefits they were promised.
And yet, despite the deal, clearly Iran sees that nuclear deterrence works. They have the example of North Korea, which called America's bluff last year. That example has to be influencing Iran.
It does, and it certainly did. And that, I think, is why they were exploring the idea of a bomb in the first place under the guise of a civilian program. I mean, you know, I think we all should recognize that Iran was on the pathway to a bomb. They did not have an organized nuclear weapons program. Our intelligence agency says that effort ended in 2003. So when John Bolton says, as he did today, that they want to end Iran's nuclear weapons program, well, he's a little late. That ended a long time ago. But by building up the capability, they certainly get to the threshold. And that's what worried us. The difference between North Korea and Iran is that North Korea has weapons. They have 20 to 30 nuclear weapons, several of which could probably reach us. Iran is years away from that kind of capability.
Joe Cirincione, president of the Plowshares Fund in Washington, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.